silly man. The title that came to my mind about today, just knowing TC3, could we just go one more time for TC3? Like, God gives each one of us a language that he speaks to us in. And for me, it is definitely, right up there is actually music. And it either comes out because I love to sing, but I also love to dance. So I often have bare feet because it's a lot easier for me to feel the ground under my feet. That was just amazing this morning. Just amazing. And I was humbled thinking, basically, you guys were the gospel message. Like, how do you sit something on top of that that just doesn't fall off because it's not right? And then I woke up from a dream, and God had given me an idea. So many years ago, when I used to be involved at Frontlines, I developed some friendships. We had great times over there. Raise your hand if you've ever been to Frontlines and been involved in a program there. Raise your hand if you've ever. Hi, wave it. So some, yeah. And so there are some people that are newer or that are visitors that don't necessarily know. Anyway, I got the idea that that what would be wonderful, especially for these youth, and especially for the elders in the church, and elders, that would be me. So if you're a grandparent, let's call you an elder. Even if you're not a grandparent, you can still be an elder. I thought it would be wonderful to hear from some young adults who are along the road, so they're ahead of where you are, but they aren't where we are yet. And that's where the idea of remember your future comes from, because one of my favorite, Philippians is chock full of encouraging words. Some of my favorites are from there. And one of my very favorites is Philippians 1:6, which basically the gist of it is, he that began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. When I first fell in love with that verse, I was young, and so I didn't really have much of a sense of things that would block completion of something that God had started in me. But as you get older and your body starts to whatever and things start to fall off or shift or whatever, and you can't do things in quite the same way that you did before, it becomes a little more real. Anyway, I reached out to some of my very close friends, and I'm going to ask them to come forward now, some visitors from the old days, so Matthew, etc. And the most precious part, Matthew Eubank, is on the board at Frontlines. And he used to be, when I was first at Frontlines, I remember I walked in with a key and he's kind of looking at me because he had never seen me before. And I'm letting myself into his building, right? And he's like, who are you and how come you've got a key? And now he's on the board. Do you want more of your family up here? Franklin, could you come forward? Franklin, wave to the people, Franklin. Who remembers Franklin? Yeah. So Franklin, I brought a wad of pictures because I have so many pictures and I was sharing it with these guys. Franklin used to, he was very patient. He was really patient with me. I remember the first time when he realized he speaks quickly, and I couldn't always understand what he was saying. And so, you know what it's like when you say, excuse me and pardon me, you say it once, you say it twice, and then you sort of figure in your head, maybe did I get enough of it? Like, maybe I don't need to ask a third time. But Franklin, the respect that he showed, he would watch my eyes, and he could see that I had made a decision. And so then he would just put in a different word. Until he would work until I understood what he said, which I don't know if I immediately understood it, but I came to understand the deep, deep respect in that. For me coming and kind of landing over there, and I really hadn't been involved in Frontlines that much before that, just such great respect. There was a woman, Marg Shanks. Do you remember Marg Shanks? Anybody? So Marg Shanks used to come to Frontlines all the time. She lived up Weston Road, and sometimes it was just a way for her to get exercise to walk up and down the street. And one day we were doing, I don't know, something funky and crazy at Frontlines. I don't know what it was, but Franklin was doing something with her. And when he was sort of out of earshot, Mark said to me, "Do you think, Franklin, if he saw me on the street, would he say hello to me?" And I said, "Absolutely, he would say hello to you." Because that's who Franklin is. Boys, the boys from Brampton, please come forward. So Jason and Gibson, I was thinking when you guys were singing, these guys, what I remember, especially Jason and Gibson, we used to do something, I think it was during Crow's Nest or Midway, and when we'd be singing, and I'm sure you didn't make up this move, but like we would all do this so that we were like cooler than cool because that's what they showed us. Who else am I missing? Ashley O'Neill. We were talking on the phone last night because, you know, I got this idea and I contacted these guys and they said that they were going to come or going to try to come, but kind of panicking in the last minute, like, what if they don't come? So I spoke to Ashley last night and she reminded me, I couldn't remember really when we had first met, but we met at the Scooby-Doo, like a vacation Bible school that we partnered with Weston Presbyterian just up the street. And apparently, and see, like, I didn't remember this, Ashley, but apparently I noted her good skills with kids and hired her. I do remember that she was working with us, but I didn't remember, you know, there was just so much going on. If you guys would come forward, all of y'all, and just, like, say a few words.
I'm nervous. When my good friend here, Bonnie, asked me, she emailed me out of the blue. It was weird. I didn't know she had my email, so I knew she had my number, but it apparently wasn't working. The email worked, so here I am. She emailed me and asked me if you know if I would. Yep, check, one, yeah, okay. She asked me if I would, you know, come to church and speak.
Here, take another. Zach, can you just switch to a regular mic? That's better.
Hello? Yeah, God is good. All the time. And without hesitation, I said, yeah. I don't know why I said yeah, because, like I said, I'm nervous. And this is the first time I've ever stood in front of a church in behind the pulpit here and spoke to the church. So I'm going to do my best. Please bear with me. I had to write it down because I'm so nervous. So I said to her, I said, what is it that you want to talk about? Just to give me a point of reference. And she said, Philippians 1:6. Actually, she said Philippians 4:6. And then, well, we were talking, and I read the scripture, and I was like, that's not what she's talking about. So I did some research, and I found out that, yes, it is Philippians 1:6, and it says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work, and you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. And she sent me some talking points, a time I experienced God's faithfulness, and a word of encouragement, and something spoke to me. God spoke to me, and the story stuck out for me. Some of you may know, me and my wife have 5 beautiful kids. And I love my kids. I wouldn't trade them for the world. God has a plan for me and them. And but when I was young, I only wanted 3. So, you know, he obviously had a plan, has a plan. And the 3 that I wanted, and in this particular order, was 2 boys and a girl. That's just what I wanted. So that was truly what I wanted. So when I was 17, my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, got pregnant with our first child. It was a boy, Quincy. He's back there. Young, handsome man now. About 4 years later, after we had invited Christ into our lives, we were pregnant with our second son. So I'm like, yeah, right, I'm on a track here. So so when the time came and she was pregnant again with our third child, I was sure of two things. One, that this child was going to be a girl, right? And two, that God has been working in me. God was working in me throughout those 4 years, and he was really telling me that having three children out of wedlock was not his plan and purpose for me. So me and my wife decided that we would get married before our third child was born. So we set a date for November 17th, 2006. Sadly, before we got married, God called our child back home with him. And you know, that could stop things in its tracks, but we knew that God was calling us to get married, so we followed through and got married on that date. we got married right here in this church, right here. Right here. It was a beautiful day. Where was I? There we are. Okay. So 2 years after that, we had another baby boy. So there went my plan right out the window. And, you know, we kept trying, and we had another child, and the child was a boy, and I knew that something was afoot, I know, because God definitely had other plans. So I, in all my strength and wisdom, were trying to figure out what am I going to do here and plan, and instead of sitting back and letting God take control and just do what he does, we talked and we said, you know what? We're only gonna have six kids. That's our limit. And if we don't have a girl, then it's not in God's plan. But we got pregnant with our fifth child, and we had a beautiful baby girl. When she came out, I didn't know if it was a boy or a girl. It just sounds weird, but I was so used to having boys that I turned to the doctor or the nurse and I said, "That's a girl?" And they looked at me like I was crazy. And they said, "Yeah, but I've never seen one." So I was pleasantly shocked. Anyways, fast forward. We're at an annual dinner, Frontline's annual dinner. And we're talking to a couple about... you know, our plans, the plans that we had for kids. Because, you know, the topic of us having five kids comes up quite a lot. That's what we talk about. And they were like, "Oh, yeah." And, you know, I started talking to them. And in the midst of this conversation, God revealed to me, like, my desire when I was a child was to have, or when I was a kid, was to have three kids, two boys and a girl. And clearly that wasn't the case. And it was a revelation, I kid you not. I was in the middle of this conversation, and I started laughing because God opened my eyes, and he said, "When you did things my way, you gave your life to me, and you put me first, got married, and had your kids, I fulfilled your desire of your heart." Because after I got married, I had two boys and one girl. And to me, that was like, God's so funny. That was so humorous. And what does that have to do with Philippians 1:16? Let me see if I can pull it all together here. You see, sometimes I feel like we get in our own way of letting God work in us. We try to do things in our own strength instead of just stepping aside and letting him do what he does. We get in our comfort zones, and we don't want to get out of those comfort zones. Case in point, I am totally uncomfortable standing up here. But I know that God is doing a work in me. And if I want to see the fruits of him, you know, completing that work, which I know I will, but I mean like in the midst of my living, I gotta let go and let him do what he does. I said I was gonna keep this short, but you know, God, again, this is God's plan, not mine. So being up here it's out of my comfort zone. It's a risk. It's a step that I was willing to take because I know that God is at work in my life. And I want to be that example to my children that when you allow God to do things in your life that you know you're not comfortable with, amazing things can happen. So with my wife as my biggest cheerleader, my kids as my inspiration, and Holy Spirit driving me and guiding me, every day I decide to let go and let God. May God bless each and every one of you. Thank you very much. That's all I got.
Stay there, because I think Ash is going to pray for you guys at the end. Who wants to go? Do you have just a couple words?
Hi, everyone. My name is Gibson. I grew up here in Weston for about 14 years with my brother,
right
Jason.
Across the street.
Literally 5 Bellevue, the building right there. And yeah, I'm a little nervous, but yeah, we grew up here, and Bonnie came to my house like last week to let us know that
she
wanted us to say a few words, and my message is kind of it's kind of for everyone, but it's mostly for the youth. When we were younger, me and my brother, we didn't really get into too much trouble, just a little bit of trouble. And then somehow, I don't really know what happened, but Frontlines was a big tool for us. And that's when we met Bonnie. And Bonnie brought us into the church. And we met a lot of great people here. I see some of them, like Rebecca, Natalie, Simon, Sam, and a bunch of other people, I just want to say to the youth, there's 3 things that I think that you guys should take with you going forward, and that's strength, spirit, and support. Spirit, it's obviously coming to church, and everyone has their own way of how they deal with it. You might want to come to church, you might want to stay home, but if you pray and you talk to God and you have your own conversation with God, he'll reveal things to you. I think that's very important. With my brother being a religion teacher and going that route, he also instilled that in me as well. And I think strength is also important because I'm not really like the biggest person or the tallest person, but I do have a lot of strength. So I play basketball, sorry. And
you play serious basketball.
Yeah, I do play professionally. So with my height, a lot of people don't give me when they see me, they think, you know, you need strength. You need mental strength, you need physical strength. And the last thing I think that's really important is support. If you don't have support, then it's gonna be very tough for you because there might be times where you're struggling with something and you don't know what's gonna happen. If you don't have support, then you might give up. But I'm encouraging you guys not to give up. Chase your dreams, even if people say you can't do it, or people say you can't be a doctor, people say you can't be a lawyer, but there's doctors and lawyers everywhere. So whatever dream yours is, if it's to sing, if it's to dance, if it's to play basketball, if it's to be a lawyer, then chase your dream and make sure you have some support. And my biggest support are my brothers and this lady right here. She helped me through the rough times here and the good times here, and she still messages me till this day. We still talk all the time, so that's all I got, and thank you.
Good afternoon, church. Sorry, I have a big voice for a little skinny guy. give it up for Barney Pearsons, please. Matthew. A lot of people don't know Matthew, but we used to butt heads a lot, and this man has changed. I'm going to bring it up because this is my guy right here. Let him be an inspiration, I'm telling you. You know, a lot have changed. I lost a lot of friends in this community. Just within the past 3 months, I probably buried 3 friends. Beat the odds. That's all I can say, kids. Beat the odds. I used to get in a lot of trouble back in the days. Bonnie used to be at my court dates. They're supporting me. To the community of Weston, I've been here more than 15 years. It's just love for the white folks, the Chinese folks, the black folks, you know what I mean? No one is scared of no one around here. Everybody know each other, you know what I'm saying? It's a very tight-knit community. I love the city of Weston. I wouldn't move anywhere, to be honest with you. My kids are growing here now. I've changed my life a lot. And I might not be the most, like, you would say, no, Christian person, but I do come to church sometimes. Or yet. Bonnie is still a big inspiration in my life. She always been, from I met her at Frontlines. I remember one day, like she said, I used to break down. I used to speak the raw Jamaican patois, so I would have to say more than one time for her to understand. I used to just look in her eyes and just repeat over and over and over until she gets it. Back in the days, you know, used to be a lot of problems with the police. They used to just come around and, I would say, to be honest with you, just profile the black kids. Even when you're not doing anything, just come around, ask name and stuff like that. And I remember one time I became a volunteer at Frontlines Community. And I think me and Matthew was fixing the basketball court. And these cops came up to us and just started questioning me. And I just didn't want to have it that day. And I just turned my head and looked at them and said, "You're not going to bother me at this psychological moment. At this time, I'm very busy. Can you just leave us alone, please?" And they looked up, and I think Barney came out and just walked away. And I think at that moment, I just realized I could face my fears and be like, you know, when it's time to stand up, when we had enough, we had enough. And I just want to say to these younger youths, let us be an inspiration to you guys. We could beat the odds. You know what I'm saying? The future is very bright. For us, guys like us who have beat the odds, you know what I mean, still in our community, still surviving, you guys' potential is sky the limit. Believe in yourselves. You can do whatever you want to do. Be whatever you want to be. Just believe in yourselves. And I'll be making a $50 pledge or a $50 donation to your cause, madam. I forgot your name. And I didn't know if I was going to make it here today. I had a late night last night because I could hear the voice. I was a host at a talent show. So I'm working off like probably two and a half hours sleep. So I'm still here because Bonnie called me at her request, and I'm always here for her. So like I said, I'll be making a $50 pledge to you guys' cause, and hopefully that's the start of it. And thank you, guys. Thank you, Weston community. I appreciate you guys.
What's up, Weston? How you doing? My brother's a little bit of a liar. We were delinquents. We were terrible. Each and every one, all three of us, terrible. I'm sure Rebecca will tell you she had sleepless nights. Bonnie will tell you she had sleepless nights. When Margie was here, she'll tell you she had sleepless nights. We were terrible. Charlotte, God bless you. Charlotte was in our corner even if we did something wrong, Charlotte had our back. She was like our angel from the deepest parts of heaven. I'll make it quick. My brother did talk. I just wanted to say, on that note of family, Weston Park has really been a family for us. We were in a spot where, we lived across the street, but we grew up around quote-unquote bad influences. We wanted to be part of that life. You know, we thought that that thug life was for us. We wanted to do that. That was what we grew up learning, right? And so if it wasn't for Crow's Nest, if it wasn't for... Do you guys still do Crow's Nest? No? Oh, my gosh. If it wasn't for Crow's Nest, come back and run it? Yeah. if it wasn't for Crow's Nest, if it wasn't for Frontlines, we had Midway back in the day. Honestly, I don't even know where we'd be. We've lost a lot of friends throughout the years. A lot of them are incarcerated. And so for us to not have gone down that path, I think it's a testament to this community, to this church specifically. I know Felix, Sam, they were our big brothers while we were here. They would whip us into shape. Natalie would constantly yell at us, but it was okay because it was in love. It was in love. But I just want to thank you, really, I really want to thank you. Bonnie told me the scripture for today. I switched it up. But it was, I was reading Philippians as well, and I was thinking, in all things, I've learned to be contented, right? And so, if it wasn't for this experience, where would we be? So we want to thank you guys for supporting us and always having our back. Thanks.
Praise God. My name's Kendrick. These are my brothers right here. We're cousins, but we're actually God brothers as well. Our moms are sisters. Growing up, I lived in Driftwood, actually, and I used to come over every summer. And when I used to come over, I always used to see Bonnie. A couple months ago, I graduated from York University. Bonnie came and seen, thank you. Bonnie came and seen my brothers, and after Gibson calls me, he's like, do you remember Bonnie? I'm like, yeah, I remember Bonnie. I'm like, but I know she doesn't remember me. He said, she remembers you. I'm like, wow, that's crazy. So they told me that we're gonna come and visit Bonnie today, and I was really excited. Then I heard that we're gonna say some words to the kids. And I just wanted to tell you guys, if God's for you, no one could be against you. That's one thing that I kept with me my whole life. As these guys told you, Gibson was a real humble with it. We were so stubborn. We were honestly so stubborn, but it made us who we are today. And what I want to say is that growing up, I faced a lot of obstacles. All of us faced a lot of obstacles, but something that our family engraved in us is that if God is with you, no one could ever be against you. And that's what I want to make sure you guys know today. All right.
Hello, good day. Good morning. It's good to be back at Weston Park Baptist Church. And I see many familiar faces. So nice to see you all. I'm going to briefly just talk. Hold on. Give me a moment. Okay, Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. So I just want to say I grew up in the Western community, and I had many challenges along the way. When I was a teenager, that's when I met Bonnie, but I also had a dream around that time that I was going to be a missionary nurse, okay? My grades were not the highest grades. I always struggled in education and school, and I had to repeat many classes along the way. I ended up doing a pre-health science course because my grades were still not high enough to go into a nursing program, and then I ended up going into the Bachelor of Science for Seneca and York. I did graduate with a Bachelor of Science in Nursing. I just wanted to say that I'm not going to go into detail because I could talk for hours about testimonies, but I just want to say that there were many challenges, and one thing that God kept reminding me throughout the challenges, personal challenges, educational challenges, was that be reliant on God, not man. And this kept going through my head anytime I had an emotional problem, I had a financial problem, I had a health problem or an educational problem. Rely on God and not men. As as you guys know, this is one of scripture that was really helped motivate me to continue to keep on the race and to continue to fight, to believe in my dreams and believe what the dream that God gave for me. It was Jeremiah 29:11. It's, "For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for welfare, for your welfare, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you future with hope." And for now, Bonnie kept telling me, talk about a time that was very challenging for you. This is a very touchy subject for me right now, because right now is my most challenging time. Even though I am a registered nurse, and I do have a nice job, which I thank God for, and I thank God for the knowledge He has given me, but now the tables have kind of turned, and I'm on the opposite end of the stick, so to speak, because my dad is not well, and my dad is in the hospital. So now it's very challenging for me, because my parents are my heart. My parents raised me. My parents poured love into me from when I was very young, and I would do anything for my parents. So it's my dad is 94 years old. But even though he's 94 years old, like, it's very challenging with navigating the healthcare system, because I don't know if you guys know, but in certain areas where certain hospitals are, there's different catchment areas. And some hospitals get more funding when they're in certain catchment areas. So we are in a hospital that has not a lot of funding, so we don't have all the resources that we currently need. So it's a fight to get the resources that my dad needs, especially because my dad has Alzheimer's as well. And I want to do the best, like, I want to advocate for him to the best way possible to enhance his quality of life, and also to bring him back home, because that is his wish, to come back home, to take care of him at home. So even though I have all of these challenges, I would say that my faith has raised to such a level that I'm just going to close off with this scripture, and it's pretty much, this is where I stand at this point. 1 Peter 3, "His divine power has given us everything needed for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness." So God, for everybody, not just the young people, but I stand with you guys by saying that there is hope. For despite your challenges, despite your circumstances, there is hope. There is always hope, and I thank you for your positivity and for your encouragement. It was very encouraging to me, so thank you very much. But there is hope, and everything that you do, it doesn't matter if you're working or if you're in a certain circumstances in your life, just be completely reliant on God, rely on Him, and He will provide everything that you need. He will fulfill everything that you need, and He will help you. He is absolute, He is amazing, He is awesome, and He is marvelous. There is nobody that is not, like, there's nobody in comparison to God. So I just thank you, and pray for me. That's all I can say.
So what a crowd. It's great to hear from them. And what I want to say to all of you out there, there are so many of you that have been in the church that long that you were praying for us at Frontlines. And the thing that I want to commend to you is these are the answers to your prayer. Just as when we pray for each other and we get through something, we all take part in it. We pray for each other. We're stronger because of it. We're a great family, and I just want to say, coming up, Darlene mentioned that there's a business meeting next week. I would challenge you all, get involved. I just want to say, a business meeting, I know that some people use it as, like, they have a coffee and then zoot out the door because it's a business meeting, that doesn't affect me. Do you know what? It affects everybody. If you worship here, if you pray here, if you come to any activities here, it's a family meeting. Come to the family meeting. Also, I would say, if there's anything in you, if you can feel a place that you have something to give, whether it's an activity that you could get involved with, whether it's something that you have to contribute, very often we're stopped because we think, I loved the message about making a mark and making sure that people knew that we were here. We think we don't make a difference. Very small things can make a difference. And if you will just come offering what it is that you have instead of being held back by what it is that you think you don't have, this church will explode. And the dreams that we have for next door and for these guys to go around the world and all of that, that can all happen. But it will happen when we recognize that we are. Zach, are you going to book for me? God bless you. We wait upon the Lord. Our hope is in the Lord. And we are thankful, so thankful for the time that we've had here together. You guys, when I saw each one of them coming in, I was kind of hiding in a pew there because with each one that I saw, I was starting to cry because I haven't seen some of them in a long time. And it's just so wonderful. So I love you all.